elevated conversation on crucial issues. Boyd Matheson on Inside Sources.
Welcome back to Inside Sources. Today, I am one of your co-hosts for Inside Sources, Rusty Cannon. I'm here with the one and only Greg Skordas. Greg, we've made it through two segments. We're on our third, and I have not pushed a wrong button yet.
Well, not that you know of.
No, that's true.
There you
that's
go.
True. Missiles might have flown out of a silo right. somewhere. But
you haven't hit the ejection seat yet,
that's right.
So you're still with us.
We're still rolling. So this segment's going to be really interesting. If you are a business owner, you're going to want to pay attention. If you haven't heard already, the FTC issued a rule, essentially voted on a rule this week about non-competes. So, Greg, as you know, as an attorney, these non-competes. So if you work for me and I share all of my secret sauce with you about the great, you know, how great my product is or trade secret or what have you, I will often then have you sign a non-compete, right? To say, so you can't take those secrets and then go and compete against me. Some believe that's a good practice. Some believe it's not. But this week, the FTC voted 3-2 to essentially ban these for almost all workers in the United States. Like this is a big deal where
30 million workers are affected by this.
Correct.
I had no idea, Rusty, that 30 million Americans, I think it's something like 1 in 5 or 1 in 7 workers are currently under a non-compete. I don't know many people that are personally, but I guess I don't know what everybody's contract is.
I've seen them before. It is more common than you think. And there's a very good case on both sides. I land on one side, but there are two sides to this story. But we wanted to bring on a guest that is going to be able to give us some really good details on what this really means and what happens from here. So if you go back to Washington, D.C., there is probably not a more connected organization than the Business Roundtable in D.C. They know what they're doing, and they are involved in just about every conversation back there. And today we have on with us Corey Astle, who is a vice president at the Business Roundtable, a good man and a good friend. Corey, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Great to be here. Thanks a lot, Rusty.
So for those that haven't heard, if you can just, we sort of summed it up there, but what does this mean to the business world? Because this, I would assume, is going to end or start some serious litigation.
It is going to have a profound effect on the business world. So just to take a step back, the Federal Trade Commission issued a rule to ban non-compete agreements, declaring them unfair method of competition in violation of Section 5 of the FTC Act. So as you mentioned, non-compete agreements are something long used in the business world to prevent employees from leaving the business to go work for a competitor or start a competing business. And they do this so that, you know, they can keep their employees who've received training and insider knowledge and keep them from turning around and joining a competitor. So the FTC's ban applies prospectively, basically moving forward to all workers at all levels of a business, regardless of income or seniority. And it also applies to all current employees that are existing now, except what they call senior executives. And those are folks who work in policymaking positions and make a certain threshold of salary. So what this means is that the rule bans nearly all current and future uses of non-compete agreements. And as you mentioned, the FTC is already facing significant legal challenges. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has led a group of business organizations, including the Business Roundtable, in filing a lawsuit yesterday. Other business organizations and industry associations have made similar announcements about filing their own separate lawsuits in the coming days. And these lawsuits will address the broad and sweeping implications of this rule. You know, this area of law is typically the purview of state law. So here in Utah, we have state laws that govern non-compete agreements. It can't exceed 1 year. It has to be supported by consideration, which is a legal term meaning like the employee has to get something in return. It has to be negotiated in good faith and limited to a geographical area. And states are the ones who make these decisions through the legislature. And it varies widely. In California, they've banned it completely. And in some states, they have salary thresholds or it's limited to certain professions. But this rule is broad and sweeping, as I said, includes basically everyone. And the challenges on this rule are going to be based on whether the FTC has exceeded its authority under the FTC Act, as well as under the U.S. Supreme Court's major questions doctrine. So give you a little background. Section 5 of the FTC Act directs the FTC to prevent unfair methods of competition or unfair and deceptive practices. But that statute also specifies that the FTC needs to pursue these objectives through adjudication. And what we mean by that is through individual cases. So the FTC has not traditionally had the ability to regulate from on high, as many agencies have that power. But the FTC is supposed to make decisions on a case-by-case basis to look at a given trade practice in a particular case at a particular moment in time, because market dynamics continually change. The industries always change and vary widely. And so the real point is that Congress probably has not given the FTC authority to start promulgating competition regulations at this level. And so that's going to be litigated.
And Corey, I want to ask you a question that Rusty sort of touched on a little bit. The FTC did distinguish between non-disclosure agreements and non-compete agreements. And they said that non-disclosure agreements are still in place, so that if an employee leaves a company with trade secrets or information about the customer list or something like that, I think the FTC is falling back and saying, look, you still have employers still have an avenue to make sure that the employee doesn't hurt them. So that's remained in effect, but that doesn't seem to be satisfying some of the groups that you're talking about here.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I mean, preserving that area of law is important, but you still have specialized training that's given to employees. You know, employees invest heavily. Many companies and businesses will invest heavily in their employees to give them training. And this creates a huge disincentive for them to make those investments. And senior executives, yes, they're not allowed to share trade secrets, but they still have confidential information. They still have understanding of the business's strategic plans. And so, you know, it's a fine line, and the two of those areas of law do go kind of hand in hand. And on the one hand, I think that the business world is happy with keeping non-disclosures, but this is another area that, I mean, there's a lot of crossover in that space. So
Corey, could anything be done about this legislatively? Let's say they actually do something in the Senate or Congress on this issue. Could they, or is this just out of their ballpark at this point?
Yeah, there are two things that Congress could do. There's really two avenues to take. One is in statute is a tool called the Congressional Review Act. And what that allows Congress to do is, with a majority vote of the House and Senate, but then signed by the president, you can nullify an agency rule. Now, in this case, the Democrats are in control of the Senate, and obviously we have a Democratic President Biden. So that's not very likely to work. And those have been used very sparingly in the past, but it really requires a single party holding all three, House, Senate, and presidency, and being a rule coming from the other party. And so that's probably not going to happen. The other avenue would be Congress just legislate in this area, you know, come in and say maybe set the rules, and I guess divide the power between the states and the federal government. That would still be challenged, probably still be challenged in court on grounds of, is this the purview of state law or not? But those are two avenues that they could take. Both of those seem, you know, in the current Congress, unlikely and a steep climb. And so really, the main avenue, and really almost the only avenue that opponents have to this, is litigation.
Through the courts.
And it will be litigated, and it will go through the courts, and it'll take years. And what we've seen in recent years is, this is what's happening with rules, is that large and very consequential major rules are put into effect, and it takes years to litigate them. And in the meantime, you know, we have change in administration and who might want to try to pull back on those rules or go forward even further. And so we do have this kind of yo-yo effect.
Well, that'll be quite a bit to watch. A lot of feathers flying, I'm sure, legally and everywhere else. Corey Astle, thank you for joining us. Corey Astle, Vice President of the Business Roundtable. An interesting issue. And Greg, as an attorney, I'm sure you'll maybe hear about this.
Watching this one.
So thanks for sticking with us. And we will be right back on Inside Sources.